My name is Mallory. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery for pride, fear, and misplaced identity. Mallory. I had the privilege of hearing about Jesus as a child and growing up in a home that desired to follow Christ. However, due to a lack of discipleship and just my own understanding of what it meant to follow Christ, I misunderstood the gospel message completely. I learned about a God who was all-powerful and the creator of everything, but he was an angry God. Then I learned about the grace of Jesus and his sacrifice for us on the cross. Yet, all I took away was that deep down, I wasn't enough. God was disappointed in me and my mistakes, and that I needed to do better and be good in order to enter his house. This misunderstanding persisted well into adulthood and would manifest as crushing perfectionism, debilitating stress, and overwhelming fear. I had a life that provided for all my needs, gave me opportunities that many only dream of having, and yet I never felt I was enough. The fear of someone seeing me, the real me, the scared, the selfish, the imperfect, and needy me was terrifying. And yet there was nothing I wanted more than to feel like I belonged and was valued. I dealt with this by taking on things myself and thinking I had to do things alone to prove I was capable and worthy. I'm sure you can imagine how well that went down, but I'd always hit a wall of exhaustion, of something I couldn't fix or do, or just fear of my own failure. And when I did, I would always feel God reaching out, asking me to trust him with it all. I'd hand over my burdens and feel incredibly light and joyful, and then I'd pick back up where I left off. The term I would use to describe it is the myth of self-sufficiency, thinking that I could manage everything on my own. When I say no one can do it alone, I mean it truly. My body was even fighting me. At one point, I was hospitalized because of my back pain from carrying what felt like the weight of the world. God was trying to show me that I could not handle the stress on my own and that I was trying to control everything. I was so stubborn. This would also lead me to seek other ways to deal with the stress and the loneliness, like inappropriate relationships with men, inappropriate books and masturbation, binge reading, watching TV shows. I wanted to avoid any quiet moment, literally anything, but acknowledging my limitations and my need for God. All of this came crashing down when I hit a wall I couldn't climb over or tear down or make a door through. My three-year-old niece, Charlotte Grace York, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Psalms 56:8. Over the next 3 years, I was challenged with, what do I believe? And I saw God move in so many miraculous ways, through chance meetings, incredible doctors, and community surrounding my sister and her family. I started to see more of God in this season and the beauty of inviting others in. In the end, my niece beat the cancer, but the side effects of her treatment took her from us. She lived to be 6 years old for only a few months. Again, I was challenged with, who is this God, and what does this mean for me? How do I begin to repair the brokenness of grief and loss in me and in my family? It was a hard season of anger and sadness. And nothing helped except when I would seek God in prayer, his word, and his people. And it was through this experience that God brought me back to him. I finally heard the gospel clearly. Our loving and just creator sent his son to live, minister, suffer, die, and rise again. Not just because of our sin, but because he loves us. And he desires a real and intimate relationship with us. There was nothing I could do through my actions, good or bad, that could impact that. He is and has made that possible, and all he asks is I believe in him, surrender to him, and his will for my life. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made us made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. 2 Timothy 1:9-10. The person who clarified the gospel to me was a Watermark member on the membership team. It was also this servant-hearted woman who told me about regeneration and how for years she fought attending herself, but how much that helped her grow in allowing Christ to carry her burdens, trust in him, and feel his love and peace. And so in August of 2020, I walked into Regen thinking, I don't belong in recovery, but knew I needed God and couldn't do life on my own anymore. What blew me away was the authenticity. I had never been in a church where people freely admitted their need for a savior by sharing their sin, their shame, pain, and wounds, and then seeing people not run away or judge, but immediately praying for them. It was moving. So I came again and again and again and started feeling the Spirit do the crazy work of refining my heart, my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions more and more. I remember vividly thinking steps 1 through 3 would be a cakewalk. I mean, by that point, I had believed in God for 24 years, only to realize that my pride struggled to step 1, admit that no matter what, I could never make up for my sin. Then to realize there was still more to learn regarding step 2, believing in the one true God. And then step 3, trust. To this day, it is a constant challenge to trust. Not because God's faithfulness in pursuit of me hasn't been evident, but because I struggle to trust what I do not understand and cannot experience perfectly within myself or others. God alone is perfectly trustworthy, perfectly loving, and perfectly good. Step 4, inventory made huge strides in helping me receive forgiveness for all that I have done. It makes a difference writing it all out and seeing just how much God loves me. He chose me even though I'm not worthy on my own merits, but through his son, he declares me worthy. But I will say the areas that continue to grow me are steps 7 through 10, to follow, to forgive, to make amends, and to continue. I still struggle to trust God at times. I still spiral with the lies that I'm alone and I have to be enough. But the insane thing is, God is always there for me, even in my doubts. He is gently and persistently freeing me of the lies, the wounds, and the sin that I have carried, and helping me realize that God's creation of man was good. It was our pride and our doubt of God's goodness that led us out of the Garden of Eden. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. 1 John 4:9-10. And yet God doesn't see us as our sin. Jesus' blood was able to wash us clean. He sees us as the beautiful creations he made us to be, who are imperfect, but are called by a perfect God to live for him and not for ourselves. And I can tell you confidently that this life is scary. It's unfamiliar, it's uncomfortable, but life with Christ is the real deal. You will not experience joy, peace, or love while living a life with everything the world can offer and by relying on yourself alone. Trust that God has a plan for you. His timing is perfect, and he can use his people as a way to help you experience love and healing as they point you back to the healer and the comforter. This is the lesson he's teaching me in my current season. I was called out of a stressful but high-paying job 9 months ago, and I'm currently seeking where to live without that question answered. I look at my life, and I'm at times afraid and confused, as I didn't expect to be in my 30s and so unsettled. But God's hand has been so present. The current lesson has been to step forward without knowing and understanding everything and trust that he will make my path straight. So for those just walking in here, or those who have been coming a while but are afraid to take that first step, I see you. And can I just say, while where you are may feel more comfortable in its familiarity, and stepping forward is scary because it may be hard, and you don't know what's next, take that first step. Know that God is with you now. He will be with you as you step into the unknown, and he will be with you on the other side of it. You are where you're supposed to be, and it's through him that he can begin to heal you, to free you, and help you feel his love and peace. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9. My name is Mallory. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery for pride, fear, and misplaced identity. But I am called beloved, child, co-worker, friend, and worthy through Christ by the God of the universe. And to God be all the glory.